Well, hello. I am recording, just to let you know. but hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gentle Healing Group. You don't need to record, I don't think so, but now that I said that, I mean, if you have it running, you could leave it running just in case I have any technical difficulties, but I typically don't, and I do have the recording running. Yeah. Oh, we're doing backup recordings. Okay, so in that case, run the recording just for the backup. Hello everyone, and welcome to the Gentle Healing Group. I'm pausing just to see if there's any announcements that I have to make, and I think the only announcement that needs to be made, Jacqueline is going to make, but maybe we should wait till after the song, so that there are a few more people here in the room. So, hey, Stephen. So why don't I just get us started with a song? This song is a Christian song, and so you'll definitely hear the, you know, the Christian terminology and the Christian thought in the song. What I love about the song, though, is the idea about the song is there's no place like your presence. No place like your presence. And that just reminds me of just sitting in the awareness, watching awareness meditation. So even though that's not quite what this song is about, that's what this song makes me think of. It's by Lloyd Bustard, and this is the song.
Heaven is your throne,
So that was Lloyd Bustard, No Place Like Your Presence. And Jacqueline, I'm wondering, where are you? There you are. I'm wondering if you want to take the mic now and share your announcement. I'm going to release the mic for you.
Thanks, Regina. Hey, everybody, again. Yeah, I just wanted to say that I was doing a subgroup on Thursday nights, second and fourth Thursday nights of Consistent Gentle Healing. It was intended to be a place for discussion and of you know, the lessons and the concepts and, well, not concepts, right? And the things we're learning here in the Gentle Healing class. I agreed to lead that, and once I began to do that, it just seemed to be the kind of like the one thing too many, the straw that broke the camel's back. I've just found that I was overextended, and so I have decided not to lead that group on Thursday nights. I would love to open up the invitation for someone else to take that group over. As Kathy says, it was not well attended anyway. If somebody wants to take that over, that'd be great. I'm sure that spot will be open for a bit. As my recollection is, we haven't determined to fill that with anything else, if you guys are interested. But really, it's just the one more thing that I just felt was beyond my ability to do. So I appreciate everybody who attended that group, and we did have some good discussions, and I appreciate the opportunity to serve in that way. Okay, thanks, Regina. I'm done.
Yeah, thank you, Jacqueline. So again, if somebody else wants to lead the subgroup, let Ken know. atsanctuary@gmail.com. I think that's it, isn't it, Ken? Is it awakeningtogethersanctuary@gmail.com? Remind me of the email address. Awakening Together, it's written out, awakeningtogethersanctuary@gmail.com. Yeah, there you go. It's all the way written out, awakeningtogethersanctuary@gmail.com. So let Ken know if you would like to lead the subgroup, or if there's something else you want to teach. This is an hour the first and third or second and fourth Thursdays. Let me know the time and the... It's the second and fourth Thursday, and that's at 9 p.m. Eastern. Is that correct? 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. So if there's something else that you would like to teach or share about during that time, please let Ken know. As of right now, that's an open slot unless somebody steps up and says they want to take it in one way or another. All right, so now this is the opportunity where I get to listen to you. And as I mentioned last week, I really like knowing where you're at with the gentle healing curriculum and in your own healing process. In the last week, just to refresh your memory, we did workbook lessons 136 to 140. We spent 2 days with 139 and 2 days with 140, so we only did 5 lessons this week. We also watched an Alon, I'll try and say his name right, Alon Jiva video, which I personally perceived as excellent, but we'll talk more about that as we go on. And then we read NTI 2 Peter, chapters 1 through 3. So if you'd like to share on any of the homework or just on your process in general, where you are in the process, how you're experiencing this, all of that sharing is acceptable. So if you would like to share, please put up your hand, or if you're on the newer version of Pal Talk, join the queue. By the way, I noticed that George is here. I just want to say, George, I'm even behind on, not George Maddox, but the other George, George from Arizona. I'm even behind on checking my voice messages. I know that you've left me a message and a couple other people have left me messages, but I haven't even listened to my voice messages. So some of us are busy like every minute, and I haven't even gotten to that. But I do know that there's one on there from you. I saw that. this is a very short week for me because I'm leaving on Thursday morning to go to Maryland for the weekend. So I only have Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday to get a number of things done. So I haven't listened to my voice messages. All right, no one is putting up their hand at this point, so maybe once again I'll get it started, and then as I'm speaking, maybe I will... Oh, wait, there's a hand. Just as soon as I took off my glasses, I almost didn't see. I was going to take off my glasses and rest my eyes. All right, Francine, the mic is yours.
Okay, do I have the mic? Okay, good. I just want to say that awareness, watching awareness, I absolutely love doing that. I'm experimenting with it. I watched the open eye meditation last week, and I feel like I'm getting a lot of clarity. I feel like the path is not as much of an effort as it once was. I feel like my mind is not so busy now. And I like everything, you know, that maybe you can awake with that in combination with doing the other stuff. But that just awareness, watching awareness is a big, big part of it. And it's extremely helpful. So I like that very much. And I enjoyed Alon Jiva video. That also is a lot about awareness, watching awareness. I'm noticing that I can be the watcher, bits and pieces that before it was beyond me. I couldn't do that, but I'm starting to be able to do it when I remember. And again, I want to thank Kathy for transcribing all of that video. That was extremely helpful. So thank you very much.
Whoops. Sorry, I had a little bit of trouble getting the mic back. I noticed that Lynn is writing that she loved the Ilan Geva video as well. I loved it as well. And in fact, I loved it so much. I mentioned to you all, and Kathy loved it. I mentioned to you all that I am traveling this weekend. I'm going to a silent retreat in Maryland. So I won't be at Seven Steps on Sunday night. And I have asked Ken to replay it during my Seven Steps spot, because of course it is the same teaching as the Seven Steps spot, and I think listening to it is really good for us. I think as we listen with him and as we take those brief practice periods with him, we get better and better at awareness, watching awareness. So he will play that along Ilan Geva video, as well as one more short 15-minute one in order to fill the hour. So that's what will be happening on Seven Steps. And Cheryl says she also played some of it on Sunday. So, yeah, it's very good. Joanne, the mic is yours.
Hi, everybody. We need to embrace. Hopefully we have a good connection. I wasn't here last week, and when I listened to the audio, I was like, oh, my God. I mean, these people. I could be saying what these people are saying. Responding to huge resistance and okay. So it's my turn then. All right, so I'll make it brief. Resistance. A lot of resistance. Okay, let go of the mic.
Okay. Yeah, you were breaking up quite a bit, but I got that. A lot of resistance, so that's. And, you know, although that isn't fun, I perceive that as good. I mean, you know, that's what happens along this path, right? Peace Pilgrim talked about what she called the hills and valleys of the spiritual path. And the hilltops were the days when we're feeling peaceful and the flow, maybe kind of like how Francine shared. My mind is feeling quieter. It's feeling easier. Right? That's the hilltop. And then the valleys are when the ego seems to come back. It's very, very loud. You know, there's lots of resistance. But she says the valleys are just as important as the hilltops on the spiritual path. And the valleys are when the ego is showing itself so that we can continue to let go of it. And if we didn't go into those valleys, you know, the ego would remain repressed or denied. So although it's no fun when stuff starts coming up like resistance, unworthiness, guilt, fear, I always say, good. That means you're doing the work. Good. So Abigail, the mic is yours. All right, and Abigail, just to let you know, you don't have the mic yet. If you're on the new version of Pal Talk, there's a little round microphone at the bottom center of the screen with a little lock. You just click on the lock, and that will take the mic for you, and then you can click on it again when you want to let go. I'm releasing the mic so you can try again. All right, Abigail, still not seeing a mic, so maybe you want to type your comment in, and then I'll read it for everyone. I'm noticing Lynn is saying, the loving all method is beginning to seep into my memory during the day. So that's nice. That's nice. Do we have someone else who would like to share on this past week's homework? All right, then let me go ahead and start my sharing. And then as I'm sharing, if any of you all want to jump in, please put up your hand. If an admin could lower Abigail's hand for me, there we go. So that will help me stay clear on who has their hand up. I think what I'll do, since we've mentioned the Alon Jiva video, I think I'll start by looking at that. So I took a few notes during the video, and the only reason I took the notes was so that I could come here and share, because otherwise I would just, you know, remember, oh, I liked it, I thought it was great practice. I wouldn't be able to talk about any specifics. But for the average person, you know, this was the type of video that you didn't necessarily need to take notes, because it wasn't at all an intellectual video. It was just an opportunity to practice awareness, watching awareness meditation. And again, if you have not yet quite got the feel of what that is, because it can take some time to get the feel of what awareness, watching awareness is. If you haven't quite got the feel of that yet, well, then it was another opportunity to possibly get the feel of that. In Michael Langford's book, The Direct Means to Eternal Bliss, he has a chapter, Awareness Watching Awareness Discovery. It's chapter 6. And it talks about how he discovered the Awareness Watching Awareness method. And last week, some of the Michael Langford devotees came to one of my sessions here in the sanctuary. And one of them, his name is Eduardo. I think he's from Brazil. Eduardo raised his hand and he said, you know, we all have to discover awareness, watching awareness. He says Michael and other teachers can point to it, but we all have to make that discovery for ourselves. And that's absolutely true. We each have to discover it. It's not anything that can actually be taught. And so that's why right now I'm giving us a number of opportunities, different teachers talking about it in different ways, to help so that we each can discover it on our own. But I really loved this Alon Jiva video. He was going through a book, it looked like, from Annamalai Swami. Annamalai Swami was a devotee of Ramana Maharshi. He actually lived right next door to the Ramana Maharshi ashram. And in fact, those of you who have been to Tiruvannamalai with me, you may remember that we walked through the ashram and went next door to where there was a white tomb. They call it a samadhi, a big white tomb. And in fact, that's where my India dog lives. My India dog lives at the Annamalai Swami tomb. And so some of you may remember going over there and seeing the white tomb and seeing my dog. So Alon Jiva was reading from a book of quotes, it looked like, from Annamalai Swami. And that's what he was using as the context of the video. And so one of the things that he quoted from Annamalai Swami was this. Someone asked Annamalai Swami, is it enough to be aware of awareness? Is it enough to be aware of awareness? And Alon was telling us that awareness, being aware of awareness, is self-inquiry. And it leads to recognizing itself. And that reminded me of last week. Because last week we talked about two types of self-inquiry. What I called false self-inquiry. And Alon Jiva talked about that as well, so I'll get to that in my notes. False self-inquiry and true self-inquiry. And we talked about how true self-inquiry is seeking the true self. And you may remember that we were reading from the teachings of Inner Ramana. And in the teachings of Inner Ramana, Ramana uses a kind of a romantic idea to help us understand the true self-inquiry. He said it's like you're seeking for the one you love. You know, you're seeking for your lover. And you just don't stop until you find that one. You just, you know, you never give it up until you know you've found that one, and you can never lose that one again. And so Alanjiva was saying, yes, awareness watching awareness is that seeking. Awareness watching awareness is that seeking. And in fact, if you're listening to my Sunday night mini-series right now, you heard me review where Elie Ruzdar said that you seek until the seeking mind collapses. You seek until seeking is impossible because the seeking mind collapses. Right, so we're getting several pointers that it's very, very important to seek within for the true self and not to give up that seeking prematurely. Again, you know, Jesus said in the Bible, seek and ye shall find, you know, knock and the door will be opened for you. So Alanjiva was saying awareness watching awareness meditation is this seeking. And this, of course, is why we practice awareness watching awareness meditation, because it is this seeking. He said, and of course we heard Elie Ruzdar say this as well, he said ignorance is ignorance of the true self, or ignorance is ignoring the true self. And Elie Ruzdar said the exact same thing. And by the way, you know, Alanjiva seems to have studied Ramana Maharshi and the devotees of Ramana Maharshi, which is also what Michael Langford studied. So it's not surprising that Alanjiva and Michael Langford might come up with the same conclusion. However, Elie Ruzdar studied Rumi and the Sufi masters, a completely different tradition, and has come up with the exact same conclusions. Recently, someone said something about bringing the Michael Langford teachings in and mixing it with A Course in Miracles, and about how that weakened A Course in Miracles. Although we do talk about Michael Langford and we do read his writings sometimes, because he writes in such a simple way, and I always love simplicity. I don't find these teachings to be his. I find these teachings about awareness, watching awareness everywhere I look. We're going to be looking at a wide variety of teachers that are teaching the exact same practice, that this is the practice. They may call it something different. They may call it self-inquiry. They may call it watching the I Am presence. You know, they may have different names for it, but it seems that everybody keeps pointing to the exact same teaching as the most important practice that we are to engage in. And this, again, is why we are engaging in it. When Irene says, many of the quotes in the video are in The Seven Steps to Awakening, I noticed that as well. They are also the ones that Michael Langford uses in the guided meditations he posted on his YouTube channel. Yeah, and I suspect that Michael Langford got those quotes from the book that Alanjiva was reading from, right? That's where Michael Langford got the quotes from. So back to what Alanjiva was saying in the video. He says, ignorance is ignorance of the true self. And to remove it, self-awareness is required. To remove the ignorance of the true self, being aware of the true self is required. And we heard Elie Ruzdar saying this as well, that ignorance is always looking out, being focused on objects, being focused on experience. And you remove ignorance by turning that looking around and ignoring objects, ignoring experience, and focusing only on the true self, or focusing only on awareness. So Alan is making that same recommendation. In fact, he said the same thing she says. He said attention is constantly going to thoughts and to the outside world, ignoring the self. And he said this is what needs to be reversed, and that self-awareness is required to remove ignorance. He said, if you don't lose contact with the self, ignorance cannot arise. So when you are aware enough of awareness, that you are able to abide in awareness, not lose contact with the self, ignorance will never again arise. And that's because, again, ignorance is being focused out on thought and object and experience. Now, he gave some tips in the video that I thought were helpful tips for people who are still not sure what awareness watching awareness is. And one of those tips that he gave is actually very similar to a tip that I've heard Eckhart Tolle give a number of times. He said to start by being aware of the energy field inside the body. And I remember he gave a few examples of where you might find this energy field. One of them was behind the eyes. I don't remember what the others were, and I didn't write them down. But he said that you might be able to find this energy field within the body and start by paying attention to that. Eckhart Tolle has given the same recommendation. He calls it watching the inner body. Start by watching the inner body. And then after you become accustomed to watching the inner body, then Alon Jiva recommends that you pull back and you watch the awareness that was watching the inner body. But I just want to say, for anyone who's not sure what awareness is yet, finding that energy that is within the body and paying attention to that is a very good first step, because that inner body is also very, very subtle. Yet it's not as subtle as awareness. So what you are doing is you are training yourself to pay attention to something subtle instead of something gross. You know, thoughts are quite gross, quite loud. Even though thoughts are still formless, they're easy to pay attention to, right? They steal our attention, where the inner body is much more subtle, and you're going to have a desire to pay attention to it and not get pulled back into thought, right? You're going to have to practice with that. So if you aren't yet sure what awareness is, but if you can find that energy inside the body, that feels like what is being called the inner body by Eckhart Tolle. Just pay attention to that energy wherever you find it. And like I said, one of the places I remember he mentioned was behind the eyes, but in the video he mentioned three or four places where you might be able to find it. And he also said, you know, that another thing you could pay attention to, if even that inner body is challenging for you to find, then you could pay attention to the breath. You know, pay attention to the rise and fall of the abdomen or the rise and fall of the chest. And that is also good practice because, again, the habit is paying attention to thinking. So although the breath is not that subtle, and it's certainly not as subtle as the inner body, and it's not as subtle as awareness, I'm going to call it less entertaining than thought. Right, thought can be very, very entertaining. It's less entertaining than thought. Therefore, it is still a good practice. It is still a good discipline to pay attention to the breath. So I would say that just like the loving all method gives us options, right? If you can love it, love it. If you can't, accept it. If you can't, then emotionally allow it, right? I would say that Alon Jiva has given us options for learning meditation, for learning awareness, watching awareness. If you can pay attention to awareness, if you have found that, if you've made your own awareness, watching awareness discovery and you're able to do that, do that. If not, then try finding that energy field inside the body and stay aware of the energy field. Pay attention to that. And if you're not able to do that, then pay attention to the breath. And, of course, if you're paying attention to the breath, eventually at some point you're going to want to step back to paying attention to the energy field when you are ready. And if you're paying attention to the energy field, at some point you're going to want to step back and pay attention to awareness. But at least everyone has a starting point with Alon Jiva's method. He also said, and this is maybe a fourth option, he also said that for some people, attention may be stuck in thinking. And I think we've probably all experienced that, right? Attention may be stuck in thinking. And if your attention is so stuck in thinking that you can't even pay attention to the breath, he says, at least be aware that your attention is stuck in thinking. Instead of, you know, just continue to be aware, continue to notice that your attention is stuck in thinking. And when you're being aware that your attention is stuck in thinking, you are beginning to move into awareness. So there's a fourth option there, so that everybody has something to practice regardless of where you seem to be. He said that with repeated practice, we gain the strength to keep our focus with the self within. With repeated practice, we gain the strength to keep attention with the self within. And, you know, I think I've told you guys this a number of times, so you're probably well aware that when I first started meditating, I mean, I thought I was maybe, and I still think maybe, just about as bad at it as anybody can be when they begin. I mean, really, I wouldn't be at all surprised if many people, when they first sat down to meditate, start ahead of where I started. I was just not any good at it whatsoever. I was stuck in thinking for approximately, 10 minutes or so, and then I was asleep, and which, is not meditating at all, really, just being lost in thought and then snoring. I don't think you can start any worse off than that. If somebody has found a way, let me know. But actually now, I mean, I don't like using the term I'm a pretty good meditator. I don't really like using terms to judge it at all. But in order to just explain the difference between then and now, comparatively, I am a pretty good meditator now. I can meditate now for 2 to 2.5 hours. I can get focused on awareness pretty quickly, and I can remain focused on awareness for the majority of the time, occasionally slipping but catching myself very quickly and returning to awareness. And the way that I got from point A to point B in this case was practice. You know, wanting to do it and practicing. And so it's just like if we were learning to play the piano, or if we were learning anything else, through practice, you get better. And so that's what he was saying. Repeated practice, we gain the strength to keep our focus with the self within. So my recommendation, if you perceive yourself as a really poor meditator, as I perceived myself, and I think I was, just keep practicing. Because what we're seeing as we go through all of these teachings is we're seeing how important this awareness, watching awareness practice is. Therefore, it is worth our effort. It's just worth it to keep practicing, right? He said what we are really doing is reversing habits, because attention is habituated, addicted to looking out at thought and looking out at the world. And what we are doing is reversing that habit. But he said that as we reverse that habit, and as we learn to focus within with awareness, that our misidentification with thought dissolves. Our misidentification with the body dissolves. Our misidentification with the personality dissolves. And I can tell you that I am aware of this dissolving happening, especially when I'm sitting in awareness, watching awareness meditation. Because when I am in awareness, watching awareness meditation, I am so sure of myself as awareness, that I am not at all identified with myself as the body or thought. I can feel the body, like sometimes because I meditate in the morning before eating, sometimes while I'm meditating, hunger will show up. And so, you know, maybe the stomach will start growling or something. I'm aware of the body, you know, but when I'm in awareness, watching awareness meditation, I do not see the body as me. I know myself as awareness. It's so obvious. It's so obvious that that is what I am. So I am certain that continuing with awareness, watching awareness meditation is the path to dissolving the misidentifications, as he says. And in fact, in my own seven steps contemplation, when contemplating certain quotes that are about the body and identification, at some point while doing that, I asked within, you know, how can you, you know, break this identification with the body? You know, when the body most definitely appears to be what you are. I mean, everywhere I go, the body goes, you know. I have to shower this body. I have to feed this body. You know, this, I have to take this body to the bathroom. You know? And so I asked within, how is it possible to break this identification with the body? And the answer that I received from within was, and this is before I learned it from outside, like from Alon Jiva or someone, that the way to break the identification with the body is awareness, watching awareness meditation. That is the way to do it, by setting in awareness and becoming so familiar with what you are, right, what you really are, then, as he says, the misidentification begins to dissolve, right? He said, holding on to consciousness is not an activity of the mind. It is attention resting within awareness itself, being fixed like a magnet, magnetized by the presence. And I think the main reason I wrote that down is because I think that nearly everyone, if not everyone, makes the same mistake, which means it's probably a pretty natural mistake, and it's just a part of the path, right? We all go through it, it seems like. But it seems like many of us, if not all of us, make the same mistake in that we think this is an intellectual pursuit. You know, so for example, we might close our eyes, and if we had been introduced to this through the teachings of Nisargadatta Maharaj, and he calls it being with the I Am presence. You know, we may close our eyes and we may say, you know, I am, you know, and then when the mind starts wandering again, we may go, I am. And we're not really getting the feeling of the I Am presence. We're not even really looking for the I Am presence. We're just staying right there in the head with those words. And I think many of us in one way or another start in that way. So it's kind of like a typical mistake, or even a mistake that has to be made along the way. I don't know. But what he's pointing out is that that's not it. And it's frustrating, I think, sometimes when we have not yet discovered what awareness, watching awareness is, to be told it's not intellectual. And intellectual seems to be all we know how to use. You know, we've always used the intellect to figure out everything. And now suddenly we're being told that the tool that we've always used can't be used here, that the intellect can't find it. And that can feel frustrating. But it's helpful to know that. Because if we know that, then we keep looking. We keep looking. And somehow it's the looking itself that falls upon it, that discovers it. I think I accidentally, well, of course, I did the intellectual thing first. But when I moved away from the intellectual thing, I was accidentally watching the inner body, thinking the inner body was awareness. What happened was You know, Alan Jiva mentioned that the energy is behind the eyes, right? And so you can practice watching that inner body by watching the energy behind the eyes. Well, I hadn't seen this video yet, but I close my eyes and I'm looking for awareness and I don't know what awareness is. And I found that energy. And I spent about 6 months, I think, it seems to me 6 months closing my eyes and watching that energy. And I thought I was doing it. I didn't know. And then one day, spontaneously, I realized there was something watching that energy, that energy wasn't it, because I was watching the energy. And I kind of pulled attention back further and noticed what awareness was. Right? So I mentioned to you all that Eduardo said we all have to discover awareness watching awareness. And I think that's true. We each discover it on our own. But it's helpful to know that it's not intellectual. If we know that and we're still in the intellect, then we keep looking. And it's through the process of continuing to look that we find. Remember, Jesus said, "Seek and ye shall find." Let me see. I'm going to read a little bit about what's on the board. Sharon has said Karen Worth has awareness watching awareness on YouTube. It's true. It's both on YouTube and it's on the Awakening Together website under audios and videos, meditations, and then direct path meditation. So you can find it in either place. Her awareness watching awareness YouTube videos, you can find those by going to the Awakening Together channel, and they're right there. Let's see. Osden says, "I like awareness watching awareness. Sometimes I'm starting with emotional pain. After meditation, that pain goes. I feel like it's taking a shower from all stories." I like that. Taking a shower from all stories. Okay, so first, Alan Jiva tells us holding on to consciousness is not an activity of the mind. But again, he's trying to help us find our way into this discovery. So he then says, if attention goes to thought, it is better to hold just one thought. In other words, it's not an intellectual pursuit, right? But you know, if you have not yet found awareness watching awareness, and you find that you're just sitting there with your eyes closed thinking, then he says it's better to focus on one thought instead of just letting all of those stories run in the mind. And he says you might focus on I. He says, or maybe you focus on I am. And then he gave some other suggestions, like, I am pure consciousness. But I immediately thought of Inner Ramana's suggestion, I am, that I am. Those of you who have read Inner Ramana, you know that Inner Ramana recommends the mantra, I am that I am, and then just rest in the silence that follows the mantra. And then as the attention begins to go back to thought, you say, I am that I am again, right? And he said that this is helpful. This isn't it, right? This isn't awareness watching awareness because this is an intellectual pursuit, but this is more helpful than sitting there stuck in thought. And in fact, he says that, if being stuck in thought is still our typical experience, he says something a little longer, like I am that I am, something with more words, is easier to hold on to. So what you might do, yeah, Sharon says for a beginner, it is helpful. Yeah. So what you might do is say, I am that I am. And again, you sit, you know, without being lost in thought for as long as you can, even if it's just a few seconds, and then you say it again. But after a period of time, and by that I mean maybe, you know, a few days, a few weeks, a few months, whatever feels right for you, you might try shortening that to just, I am that. Right? Try shortening it. And then after a period of time, shorten it again to I am. And then after a period of time, shorten it again to I. So you might practice that taking it away, right? So that you get to where you can sit in awareness, watching awareness without needing words to hold you there. But he does say it's helpful. And when I first started meditating, I used what I called anchor thoughts. And in fact, Michael Langford has several 30-minute videos on his channel where, you know, it might be a quote by Ramana Maharshi, or it might be a quote by Annamalai Swami or someone, but he'll read a quote a few times, and then there's a period of silence, several minutes, and then he reads the quote again, and then a period of time, several minutes. I would listen to these videos to help me meditate, but I couldn't be silent for as long as Michael was being silent. And the quotes were quite long, so I couldn't remember all of them. But I could remember a few words from the quote. So I would use those few words from the quote as what I called my anchor thought. And when I noticed that my mind was starting to wander, you know, maybe the few words from the quote was ignorance is ignorance of self. Then I would just say to myself, ignorance is ignorance of self. And, you know, maybe the quote's three or four lines, but I would just remember those first few words. And then I would be still as long as I could. And when I noticed that my mind was going back to thought, I would say those few words again. Ignorance is being ignorant of self. And I would just use whatever few words I could remember from whatever quote was being used in that day's video. So there are several things that you can do, several options that are being provided to help you train yourself to meditate. Could I answer that? What's the question I'm being asked to answer? Could you answer that, Regina? Oh, a lot of teachers confuse me when they say the space is the self. Yeah, I know what they're talking about because I call it openness, and I'm sure openness and space is the same. Let me take a drink. I'm thirsty, and I'll get back to that. So, I mentioned a little bit ago that when I'm in awareness, watching awareness, I do not confuse the body with me. Even if the body gets hungry or something like that happens where the body is stealing a bit of attention, I don't confuse it with me. And the reason for that is when I get into awareness, watching awareness, and I'm going to try my best to describe this, Sharon, but you know you're asking me to describe something that that you can't really put into words. But I'm going to do my damnedest, okay? So when I really get into awareness, watching awareness, and I am aware of myself as awareness, every object that I'm aware of is within me. I am the space or the openness. So the body is in me. The birds that I hear, you know, if I'm hearing birds, are in me. Thoughts, most definitely, you know, in me. And in fact, maybe that's a good example. Because if we close our eyes right now, and, you know, if we shut up long enough that our thinking starts, you'll notice that the thoughts are in you. Right? They're not outside of you. They're in you. Well, in the same way that thoughts are in you, as I focus on awareness more, everything is in me in that same way. The body that you would call Regina is in me in awareness. If I open my eyes and I look, when I first open my eyes from meditation, I am still in that inward focus. I don't immediately go back out, right? Even though my eyes are open, the focus is still inward with awareness. So when I open my eyes, everything I see is in me. In the same way you experience thoughts in you. So if everything is in me, what am I? You know, I have to be that spaciousness that contains everything. You know, that's one way to describe it. Awareness is another way to describe it. Openness is the word that I most commonly use. But if you imagine for a moment the thoughts in the head, Now, of course, literally, if a scientist was here, they'd say, wait a minute, your thoughts are actually in their brain. They're not in space. But if you close your mind, you know, close your eyes, you know, and you can't see your brain, it feels like the thoughts are just running around in the space in your head, right? So that feeling of spaciousness with objects in it, that is what I am. And what you are too, but you know, that is what I am when I'm in awareness, watching awareness meditation. So that's what people mean when they say the space is the self. I hope I answered the question. You are. and the more you focus on awareness, watching awareness, that sense will come to you. Right? That everything is in you. All right, so let's get back to my notes here. So we have then another beginning point, which is if you find that your mind gets stuck in thought. You know, use something like I am that I am, and then pause between those thoughts as long as you can. That's a beginning technique. He said, and this is very important, he said, understanding in theory is not enough. You need the direct experience that comes through practice. So, for example, I just explained, and Kathy says, great explanation. So maybe I explained well, right? What teachers mean when they say the space is the self. And so some of you, maybe, never got that before either, just like Sharon didn't get it. And maybe I explained it well enough that you're like, oh, I get that now, right? Now I understand what that means. Well, Longeva says that's not enough. That's not enough. The fact that you get it is not enough. You have to have the direct experience yourself, not intellectual understanding. You need to practice so that you come to know that experience yourself. So that if somebody comes to you one day and says, well, I heard Gina say, you know, it's kind of like when the thoughts are inside of you, but everything's inside of you, and I don't get that. If you have the direct experience, then you can explain it in another way, right? Because you know what it means, right? So he says the intellectual understanding is not enough. You need to practice so that you can have that direct experience. Another beginning level technique, and I use this one a lot. This maybe was one of my favorite beginning level techniques. Another beginning level technique he recommended was using the senses. And in fact, there were two ways that I did this. Sometimes I would use the sense of hearing. I would close my eyes. And I would listen to whatever I heard, often birds, because I meditate in the morning. As you guys know, birds are very, very active in the morning, right? So I would close my eyes and I would listen to the birds. And first I would just listen. And I would listen to the birds intently enough that my thoughts were quieting down. Like I wasn't being lost in thought. I was actively listening to the birds. And then after a time, I would begin to ask myself, what hears the birds? And I would begin to pay attention to awareness. In fact, I called this bouncing off of sound. That was just my term for it, because it's like I tuned into the sound and let my mind go quiet. I tuned into the sound so much that my mind was quiet and I was fully occupied with the sound that I was listening to. And then I would begin to bounce off of it by asking, what is it that hears this? And that would turn my attention to awareness. And that's one of my beginning practices that I used to become aware of awareness. Another beginning practice that I used was the body. I would close my eyes and pay attention to the body. I might even scan the body. I might feel what it feels like to have my feet against the floor. You know, move on up. Notice my calves against the back of my chair. Notice my knees bent. you know, and only I would do it more slowly than I'm doing it now. You know, I might spend 20 minutes or 25 minutes just scanning the body, being aware if there's any sensations inside the body, any feelings in my tummy, any feelings in my heart, any feelings in the crown of my head, you know, just really paying attention to every sensation. And then after, again, this would quiet the mind. I would not be lost in thought because I was paying so much attention to the sensations that I felt in the body. So after a period of time where I'm really, really peaceful from paying attention to the body, I would then ask, what is it that sees? And I would focus on one. So first I would scan the body, but then before I would ask, what is it that sees? I would focus on something that maybe seemed kind of dominant. You know, and if you set and focus on the body, scan the body, there's a large number of things that you'll notice, a large number of sensations that you'll notice that you don't notice, you know, when you're not paying attention in that way. And so on different days, it might be a different sensation. But right now, when I haven't done that for a very long time, so I'm not really aware of every sensation in the body, one thing that's pretty dominant is the feeling of my butt against the chair, right? That's a pretty dominant feeling. So let's say that I have been scanning the body for about 20 minutes and I notice that this is a very dominant sensation. Well, then I would move to just that sensation. And pay attention to just that one sensation for a few minutes without moving. I would hold the attention still for a little bit. And then after holding the attention still for a little bit, then I would begin to ask, you know, what is aware of this sensation? And I would begin to bounce off of the sensation back to awareness, just like I bounced off sound. What is aware of this sensation? And start paying attention to awareness. So again, it's another beginning level, but I found those two practices maybe were among the most helpful practices that got me to the point where I was discovering awareness and paying attention to awareness. And then I was able to take those and also use them with thought. So when I would notice that I had gotten lost in thought, I would say, what's aware of this thought? But I learned that with sensation and sound, something more neutral. But then I could use that to get myself unstuck from thought and to pay attention to awareness as well. So this is something else that he recommended in the video. He also quoted Annamalai Swami using these words, and you will hear these words a lot from teachers from India. It's very common in that culture. He said, forcibly drag wandering attention back to itself. Forcibly drag wandering attention back to itself. And if you read Ramana Maharshi or Nisargadatta Maharaj or, you know, many other teachers from the India culture, you'll often hear them talking about force and struggle and all of these things, which to me feel very, very tight. So it doesn't feel right to me to be that tight and that controlling in meditation. So the way my mind reinterprets instructions like that is persistently rather than forcibly. So every time, it just means every time my mind wanders back to thought and I notice it, then I use self-inquiry or whatever method is working for me to bring my attention back to awareness, just every time. And in fact, one of my favorite practice instructions is from Ramana Maharshi. He uses the word promptly. I like that better. I mean, he also sometimes uses the word forcibly, but in that particular quote, he uses the word promptly. And I really like that, promptly. As soon as I notice that I'm lost in thought, I promptly bring my attention back to awareness. And I think that's in fact, that even creates joy in my heart when I say it right now. You know, I love, you know, you don't linger there and finish that thought and finish that story. You know, you're like, maybe you're thinking about, you know, what motel should I get on my trip next week? And you notice you're thinking about what motel you should get. And you're like, well, I want to finish thinking about this. Once I figure it out, then I'll go back to meditation. No. As soon as you notice that you're thinking about what motel should you get next weekend, you promptly return your attention back to awareness. And that's what awareness, watching awareness is all about. Let's see, I noticed Lori has said that she listens to birds and to know it's not possible for her to be separate from the noise she is perceiving. And Francine says she also asks during meditation, what am I, to confirm that I am still awareness, watching awareness, or to get unstuck if I've slipped into thinking. What else have we got here? You can tell I loved this video because I'm using like all of the time to talk about this one thing. But that's okay. This is so important. He said that the mind cannot find awareness as an object. The mind is absorbed into awareness, and awareness remains as a recognition of itself. I thought those were pretty good words to describe something that can't be described with words. This is, again, where you have to have the experience yourself. The first part, is pretty basic. The mind cannot find awareness as an object. You know, if we're listening to birds, the sound is an object. If we're lost in thought, thought is an object. If we're watching the breath is an object. If you're finding that inner energy, that inner body, right, and you're watching it, that energy is an object. Awareness isn't. It isn't. And that, again, Sharon, is probably why sometimes teachers use the word space to describe it, or like I said, I use the word openness. But it's not an object. It's not that nice feeling in the heart. It's not that tingling feeling in the crown of the head. Those are all objects. And so, you know, the mind may try many, many objects before the discovery of awareness happens for you. But the mind cannot find it. But what does happen, and he describes it as the mind is absorbed into awareness, and awareness reminds as a recognition of itself. And like I said, those words are pretty good, but I'm going to try and say it differently because those words are overused. You may have heard those words before. So what does happen is that thinking and identification disappear. Thinking and identification disappear, and there's just awareness. That's the way I would say it. Awareness aware of itself. But it's not identification. As soon as the thought shows up, oh, look, I'm awareness, and you think that thought, you've then lost the awareness. You're back into the object. So he is saying that the mind merges into awareness. I would say that thinking and identification disappear. That's another way of saying it. One of the problems that I had also when I first started meditating, and I don't know how long this problem lasted, probably at least a year. And it might have happened because I'm a teacher, you know, because a big part of what I do is come in here into the sanctuary, you know, during the 7 steps to awakening or whatever, and I talk about the experiences that I'm having. So that may have been why I had this problem. But one of the problems that I had in meditation for a long time is as I began to experience different things in meditation, my mind began to narrate the experience. So, for example, if I was beginning to experience the merging of the mind into awareness, I was beginning to experience the fading away of thought and identification, it wouldn't last long because then the mind would begin to narrate that. And so I had to make a very strict rule for myself for a very long time until that habit stopped, you know, many, many months. And that very strict rule was, I'm not going to tell anyone anything about my experience in meditation. And I needed to do that so that my mind would quit narrating my meditations. Because I knew that the mind narrating the meditation was keeping me from the meditation. Now I don't have that experience of the mind narrating the meditation. I don't even think about it. You know, so I appear to have gotten over that hump. If it starts up again, I'll go back to that strict rule. I'm not going to talk to anybody about it. That way the mind has no reason to practice what it's going to say to you, right? Sharon says, how about listening to music? In the beginning, I listened to music. Because I had a challenge, as you remember, with falling asleep, and I tried a number of things to keep me from falling asleep, and I thought that listening to music might keep me from falling asleep. And I don't remember exactly when I quit listening to music. I don't have a distinct memory. It's almost like one day I sat down to meditate and I forgot to turn the music on or something. You know, like it just kind of fell away. There was never a decision to stop listening to music, but I do not listen to anything now. And in fact, I think I've told you all, I put on noise canceling headphones so that I have even more silence from the outside world. So that has completely changed. I do know that Michael Langford's recommendation is not to listen to music, but I found it helpful for a time. And some of you may find it helpful for a time, too. In fact, you might find listening to the notes in the music keeps you from being lost in thought. You know, remember, we kind of go through a training, you know, we kind of go through a training process. We're like teaching ourselves to meditate. But eventually the music fell away. And I noticed someone's asking Kathy where to get to her transcript of the Alon Jiva video. It's in Facebook. In the sharing and contemplation group. I think she made a couple posts. It's not just one post. He said also, and I think I kind of already mentioned this in a way, but he said that he had an initial confusion that self-inquiry was mental. In other words, he expected a mental answer. I don't know exactly what Alon Jiva expected, but maybe to hear the booming voice of God say, "You are spirit," you know, when you're asking, "What am I?" or "Who am I?" to actually get an answer. And you don't get an answer in that way. What you are doing, and if you know this, it might even be helpful, you're not looking for a mental answer. What you are doing is asking for an experience, a direct experience of yourself. You know, like Jesus says, knock and the door will be opened. When you're asking, who am I, you're knocking. That's a method of knocking. He said the problem that he discovered in his confusion of expecting a mental answer is that while he was expecting a mental answer, it kept his attention looking outward toward thought because he thought the answer was going to come in thought. He also said, and I know this is true of a lot of people, a lot of people have expressed this to me over the years, people are also looking for an experience. And this is also very difficult to say in words because in a way, in a very, very subtle way, awareness, watching awareness is an experience. I mean, you feel it, you know it, you realize that it's that's kind of an experience, right? But at the same time, it's not the type of experience that most people that are seeking experience expect. You know, they're expecting some kind of an explosion or something. I don't know. They're expecting something just like, you know, like if you were taking drugs, you know, like a high, right? And that's not what it is. So when you're seeking an experience, you're going to miss awareness, watching awareness, because it's so much more subtle, so much more quiet. And so he commented on that as well, that that it's not the experience, that the mind is seeking the experience, but that's not what it is. And it's funny because, again, we're using a word. We'll tell you in one moment you have to have the direct experience, and then we tell you it's not an experience. So this is where words fail. An example came to me today when we were in the minister preparation class this morning. We're looking at Ramana Maharshi, so, of course, we're looking at these same types of things. And I think Doreen was talking at the time. And as Doreen was talking, this idea, this image came to me of awareness as being kind of like vanilla ice cream. Only when you go to a Dairy Queen and you order a blizzard, you know, vanilla ice cream may be the base, but they put all kinds of other stuff in it. You know, maybe, you know, you get the blizzard of the month, and maybe the blizzard of the month has graham cracker in it and marshmallow in it and peanuts in it and chocolate chunks in it and caramel in it, you know, and when you're eating the blizzard, you're tasting all of those things and being really aware of all of those things and not really paying attention to the vanilla ice cream. You know, the experience that the mind looks for is like the graham crackers and the marshmallow and the peanuts and the chocolate chunks. The direct experience is like the vanilla ice cream. It's much more subtle than all of those explosive experiences, right? So if you're expecting, you know, heroin from meditation, you know, that heroin high, let go of that and look for something much more peaceful, much more constant. I also, one other note that I made was I thought it was very sweet, very, very sweet at the end when he said something like, if you're still watching this, if you made it all the way to the end of this video, you know, you must be an earnest seeker. Because to the mind, right, that was probably a boring, boring video. I mean, I loved it. But to the average person, that was probably pretty dang boring. You know, if we were to take someone that did not have a sincere interest in wanting to learn awareness, watching awareness, had not yet learned to value that, and we said, oh, here, watch this video, my God, it was probably a sleeper, don't you think? You know, it was probably a sleeper. So what he was telling us was that our desire for liberation is actually pretty good if we made it to the end of that video. If we found that video interesting, look at Kathy, she says, I watched it 3 times. Yeah, you know, if that interested you, right, you know, you are an earnest seeker. Because it would not have interested you otherwise. And I think it's a fantastic video. And as I mentioned, I've asked Ken to play it again as an audio on Sunday night during my 7 Steps time, since I won't be there. I think it's fantastic, and I recommend watching it multiple times. But certainly, the average person on the planet maybe wouldn't even make it 5-10 minutes. I mean, just, you know, boring, right? Boring. So this shows that we understand the importance of this practice. And, you know, at least those of us who made it to the end, who knows? Maybe there's some here who still didn't make it to the end of the video. But if it excited you, then you are an earnest seeker. So I thought that was sweet at the end that he recognized that. So that is all I have to say about the Alon Jiva video. I don't mind stopping talking for a moment, taking a breath or two. Is there someone else here who would like to share anything before I move into new material? About any of the course lessons we've covered this week or anything at all? All right, then. I will tell you about one change I've made, and you may have noticed this. I took advantage of the fact that we were on Lesson 139 for 2 days to get a day ahead of you guys. I only did Lesson 139 for 1 day. And then I moved on to 140, and I did it for 2 days. But I got a day ahead of you. And the reason I got a day ahead of you is so that I could post the tip the night before so that it will come out on the daily update on the day that you're on the lesson. Because I know for many of you, the tip was showing up. You know, if you're on the East Coast and I'm in Mountain Time, you know, you were already at work by the time my tip was being posted. It was just much too late for you. So I'm actually a day ahead of you in the workbook lessons now, but that way when you get up, even if you're on the East Coast, when you get up in the morning, you're going to find both the course workbook lesson in the daily update and you're going to find my tip in the daily update. So that's one change that has just occurred. And if you aren't subscribing to the daily updates, you might want to go ahead and subscribe to them now because you're going to get both the course lesson and the tip right at the top of the day. And the way to subscribe to the daily updates, if you don't know, you can go to awakening-together.org, click on Join, and then underneath Join, you'll see Subscribe to Daily Update, and you can just click on that. Now, if you're in Australia or someplace like that, you're probably still ahead of me. I would have to get 2 days ahead of everybody to get ahead of you guys in Australia and Europe. But for those of you who are in America, I should be ahead of all of you now. Yeah. All right, so let me move into the reading that I brought for tonight. I'm going back to The Untethered Soul, and I'm looking at Chapter 4. It's a pretty simple chapter, actually. Chapter 4 is called The Lucid Self. And he starts off by talking about, you know, there's a kind of dream called a lucid dream. And off the top of my head, I don't remember if I've ever even had a lucid dream. Some people say they have them all the time. But, you know, a lucid dream is when you know you're dreaming. I think when I'm dreaming, I think I'm really there at night. You know, I don't remember ever being aware, oh, this is just a dream. But some people say they have that experience. So that's a lucid dream. So what he's talking about is becoming lucid in this dream, what people often call the waking dream. If you read my tip that came out today on Lesson 140, the second tip, you know that I talked about the happy dream that the Course refers to. And, you know, over the years, I have come across a number of people who thought the happy dream was when the dream is going my way, right? So the happy dream is, you know, maybe when I'm healthy or when I have enough money or when I have, you know, good relationships. And that's not really what the happy dream is. The happy dream is the lucid dream. The happy dream is when you have a growing awareness of what you really are. Not the personality, not the body, not the mind, but you're becoming aware of yourself as awareness. And as a result of becoming aware of yourself as awareness, you are also becoming aware that you are unaffected by everything. I mean, this is becoming not an intellectual knowledge, but I'm going to call it a feeling, a genuine feeling. And in fact, I would describe the feeling as all is well. That's the way it feels to me. No matter what happens here, all is well, right? I mean, it's possible that something could happen that could require a response from me. You know, like if I'm in a traffic accident, you know, I may have to, you know, call the insurance company and take the car to get repaired and maybe get a rental car in the meantime, right? Something could happen that requires a response from me, but I'm okay, right? All is well. This awareness that I'm not affected, that is the happy dream. And the teaching of A Course in Miracles is intended to move us to a gentle awakening by becoming increasingly aware of our truth so that we progressively become more lucid, right? The dream becomes happier, not because things are going our way, but because we are becoming more detached from it, or we're becoming more aware that all is well. So it's a very gentle, increasing peace. A Course in Miracles also calls that peace. And I agree, all is well and peace are synonymous. It's this increasing peace until there's like this gentle awakening. That's really the path of A Course in Miracles. And A Course in Miracles calls forgiveness the means to this lucidity, right? And forgiveness is ceasing to believe your own thinking. Forgiveness is ceasing to put value in your own thoughts, your own opinions, your own attachments. It's ceasing to see your thinking and your perceptions as having any real meaning at all. One thought that was really, really helpful for me when I was going, you know, through this at an earlier time, because, you know, just like everybody else, I thought I was right. You know, whatever I think is right. I mean, that's the basic position of the ego. And if you disagree with me, you're wrong, because I'm right. But I remember I was teaching when this happened. You know, a lot of my own clarity has come while I was teaching. I heard it come out of my mouth, and that's the first time I ever heard it. So I was teaching when this clarity came. What I realized was that there are more than 7 billion people in the world. And every one of those people think that they're right. And yet no two people think in exactly the same way. I mean, you know, like Jacqueline and I or Nancy and I could have some things in common that we agree on, but there's nobody that I'm going to find that thinks exactly like I do and therefore agrees on everything. Every one of us has a unique thought system, totally unique. Nobody else thinks like us. All 7.5 billion of us are completely unique, and yet we think I'm right. And it just hit me, how could that be? My opinion is one, my way of thinking is one in 7.5 billion. How minuscule is that? How unimportant is that? And that realization helped me to begin to take my thoughts a whole lot less seriously, right? So forgiveness in A Course in Miracles is taking our thoughts a whole lot less seriously, no matter what they are. It's losing interest in our thinking. It's ceasing to think that our thoughts have meaning, ceasing to think that our thoughts have value. And not just our thoughts, but our perceptions. And our perceptions, you can't separate from your thought. You know, if five of us who think differently see the same thing, it's very, very possible we're going to perceive it in five different ways because we're perceiving it through our thinking, right? So you can't separate your perceptions from your thoughts. If you believe your perceptions are 100% right, then that's because you still believe your thinking is 100% right. They go hand in hand. So forgiveness is letting go of that value, that meaning, that importance, that rightness of my thinking and my perceiving. And as I let go of that, right, I become detached, or I begin to experience what is called equanimity. And I begin to become aware of myself as awareness. This all begins to happen together. Even if I don't know those words, it's happening. And I begin to experience the happy dream because I begin to transcend the dream. I begin to rise above it even as I experience it. The Course calls that looking from above the battlefield. So it doesn't have anything to do with things going my way. Nothing. It has everything to do with, you know, Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Right? The world can keep right on being the world, but I have overcome it. I have transcended it because I no longer believe my thoughts and my perceptions. And that's the lucid dream. So, chapter 4 in The Untethered Soul is all about this lucid self. And again, I'm going to read portions of this to you. It says, when you are an aware being, you no longer become completely immersed in the events around you. Instead, you remain inwardly aware that you are the one who is experiencing both the events and the corresponding thoughts and emotions. So when he says, you are the one experiencing, he's really talking about having stepped back a little bit. So let's say that some kind of a tragedy strikes in this life, the pet is hit by a car. You know, most people don't like that experience, right? When the beloved pet is hit by a car. And so what happens is for the person who is not at all lucid, there can just be this, you know, all the way into the experience, you know, crying till snot is coming out of the nose, you know, whatever, right? Just complete loss of control and completely immersed in the emotions. For the person who is beginning to become lucid, for the person who is beginning to step back, there may still be crying. But there's this awareness, there's this watching of the feelings that's not there when you're deeper in it. And this is something that we cultivate through rest, accept, and trust. We're cultivating that stepping back. It doesn't mean the crying isn't happening. It just means that your attention is beginning to shift so that it's less in the emotion and more in the watching of the emotion. And in fact, as your attention begins to shift so that it's more in the watching, it's going to continue to shift more and more and more into that watching. And it gets to the point, and it may go beyond this point, I can only describe to the point that I have reached. I'm sure you know that. But it gets to the point where the watching is so strong and the believing is so weak that it doesn't really feel like I do anything. I mean, I can witness Regina having, you know, a very normal conversation, you know, where she looks just like everybody else. There's just no doubt about it. But there's so much watching. The watching is so strong that it's more like watching than being Regina. That's the lucid dream. And that's the happy dream. So it begins by being willing to practice rest, accept, and trust, and watch whatever you're going through. Now, the mistake that a lot of spiritual students make is they think, and this is just the ego, by the way, they think it starts by always being happy, always being peaceful. And it doesn't. It starts by watching whatever you're going through. Now, Michael Singer, right here in The Untethered Soul in Chapter 15, and we've already looked at Chapter 15, Michael Singer recommends happiness as a spiritual path. But we have to read Chapter 15 very, very carefully. That doesn't mean pretend like you're always happy. That doesn't mean deny your emotions. That means if your heart is broken, be happy with experiencing a broken heart. In other words, it's a means of stepping into the watcher. Right? And the loving all method is the same thing. The loving all method is not about pretending to be, you know, happily in love with everything. If you have a broken heart, love the experience of a broken heart, but still let the broken heart be a broken heart. You see, it's stepping into the watching. This is the lucid dreaming, or the Course in Miracles happy dream. Let's see what else is in here that I want to share. Let's see. I know I read through this morning, but you know, my memory is so short. I just need to read it again because I don't remember what I read this morning. So let's look at this together and see what happens here. He says, consciousness has the ability to do what is called focus. It is part of the nature of consciousness. And he says, for example, if a teacher says, concentrate on what I'm saying, you know, assuming you have enough interest, you know how to do that. You know how to listen to the teacher, right? Concentrate on what I'm saying. He says, you know very well that your consciousness can be so focused on one object that you're unaware of anything else. You know, for example, when you're lost in thought, you can be unaware of anything else that's around you. Also, you can be, you know, absorbed into a TV show, especially, you know, I don't think I do this anymore. I'm just not that absorbed into TV. But I remember when I was younger, and I'm sure you guys have experienced this either yourself or with your children, I would be so absorbed in the TV that, you know, somebody could stand there and talk to me and I wouldn't even hear them, right? So we know that consciousness has this ability to focus if we choose to focus it. So I'm not certain where he's going with this yet. I'll look more at this book, but I want to share what's happening with me right now before I go back to the book. And I don't think this is the direction he's going in, but I still want to go in this direction. Sometimes we think we have to learn something that we don't have to learn. We just have to reapply it. So we've been talking a lot about awareness, watching awareness. And again, some of us still need to discover what that means, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But we don't really have to learn how to focus. Once we discover what awareness is, we don't have to learn how to focus on awareness. Because we all already know how to focus. We focus on our thoughts all of the time. You know, and again, we might focus on a book we're reading, or focus on the TV, or focus on a movie, focus on, you know, our work. So I think it's important to realize that we do know how to focus. And so once we discover what awareness is, once we have that feel, then we take what we already know, how to focus, and we focus on awareness. Okay, let's see where he's going when he's talking about focusing. I don't think he's going there, but that's what was occurring with me, so I wanted to say it. He says, for example, you know very well that your consciousness can be aware of a wide field of objects, or it can be so focused on one object that you are unaware of anything else. This is what happens when you get lost in thought. Outside objects or mental thoughts can catch your attention at any time, but it's still the same awareness, whether it's focused on the outside or on your thoughts. Okay, so what he is doing, it looks like, is he's helping you to become aware of awareness by becoming aware of attention. Again, some people don't yet quite know what awareness is. So he's pointing at attention, because attention really is made up of awareness. If you watch attention, you can't find anything else that it's made up of. So he's saying that you know your attention could be caught on a stick. You know, maybe you're taking a walk and, you know, you live here in Pueblo, Colorado, where we have lots of snakes, and you see a stick and your attention gets caught there because you're like, is that a snake? Is that a snake? Right? And then you notice it's not a snake, it's a stick. And then your attention goes back into thought again, and you're lost in thought, thinking about whatever, whatever, whatever. And then you hear a sound coming up behind you, a little bell, and you realize, oh, a bike is coming. You pay attention to the bike, and you get up. And he says you can pay attention to attention. And notice that no matter what it's paying attention to, whether it's lost in thought, focused on a stick, focused on a bike rider coming up behind you, notice it's the same attention. And this is a beginning point of moving into the lucid dreaming. It's a beginning point. Notice that no matter what attention is lost in, it's always the same attention. And also you can pay attention to, where is that attention coming from? Whether I'm lost in thought, or my attention stuck on a stick that I think is a snake, or my attention is paying attention to the bike rider coming up behind me, or anything else, where does that attention come from? Doesn't it come from me? Can I trace that attention back? Can I look at that attention and pay attention to that attention and trace that attention back to the point that I notice that I am the awareness that is the source of the attention? When I come to see myself as the awareness that is the source of the attention, again, I'm going to move into that lucid dreaming because awareness is not affected by anything. So by paying attention to attention as much as I can in the day, noticing, oh, well, my attention is on work, or my attention is on eating, or my attention is on TV. It's all the same attention. And ask over and over again, where does that attention come from? And literally look, pay attention. Don't think about it. Look. I'm going to start becoming aware of myself as awareness. Or another way to word that is aware of myself as the watcher. Or aware of myself as the caster of attention. And that's a lot different than thinking of myself as a body-mind. And I'll begin to interact with the world in a different way. I'll begin to become the watcher rather than the actor. Yeah, and Kathy's saying the seer. He says, when you're not centered, your consciousness invariably gets attracted toward one or more of the objects that are, you know, in your world, whether it's a mental object, an emotional object, or a physical object. So whether it's a thought, or whether it's that feeling of anger, or whether it's the stick that you think is a snake, right? It could be a mental object, an emotional object, or a physical object. But he says when you're not centered, your consciousness invariably gets attracted toward one or more of those objects and it focuses on them. And it says if you allow this to happen, that your attention is focused outward so much that you become completely unaware that you are awareness. And this is what Alon Jiva was calling ignorance. And this is what Elie Ruzdahl was calling ignorance. Yes. Yeah, Kathy had the same thought. She wrote ignorance. Yes. So if you just let that attention go out and you're not paying any attention to the fact that the attention is going out, you have no awareness of who you are. But if instead of doing that, if you are centered, he calls it centered, which means you're paying attention to attention. And you're asking, where does this attention come from? Then what happens is you become aware of yourself. And in fact, he has a cute little recommendation here, which might work for some of you all. He says what you can do is start saying hello to your inside. So let's say that you find you're caught up in thought. You know, you're lost in thought. Your attention has gone outward to thought. He says one way to return your attention to the fact that you are awareness is just to say hello to your own attention. Not to the thought, not to the object that thought is placed on, but you say hello to your attention. It sounds like something Thich Nhat Hanh might say. I think he might practice in a similar way. You say hello to your attention. It doesn't really matter what method you use, whether saying hello to your attention is helpful, whether tracing your attention backwards, where does this attention come from, and continually noticing it comes from me, or if there's some other method. The point is, and again, we're seeing teacher after teacher after teacher make the same point. The point is you want to become aware of yourself as awareness. Aware as yourself as the source of attention. Aware of yourself as the seer. the watcher, the looker. Instead of being lost in the events and the thoughts of your day. And again, it doesn't matter that you, it doesn't mean you aren't still participating. The participating with the day continues to happen. It's a matter of where you are when that participation happens. Are you all the way in it? Or are you pulled back from it while it's occurring? It's still occurring. In fact, the Course in Miracles in the Manual for Teachers says something about, of course, I don't think it uses the word enlightened, so, you know, I'm using my own words, but it says something about, you know, you can't tell the difference by looking. You can't really tell the difference between the enlightened one and the average lost unconscious person in the world. Because they look the same. The only difference is the enlightened one, maybe, you know, their brow is not furrowed, or it says something like that, right? They don't look as worried. So if the enlightened person and the unconscious person basically are doing the same types of things, they're grocery shopping, they're raising children, you know, whatever, what's the difference? The difference is how much are they in that? Or how much are they watching that? How much do they believe I am the person having this experience? Or how much do they know they're the watcher? That's the difference. So we want to begin to learn to watch our experience rather than be in our experience, even though the experience continues. This is the happy dream or the lucid dream. And again, awakening, some people, now some traditions will call this awakening. I'll just say this right off the bat. Some people will call being aware that you're the watcher in the dream being awake. And some people will call it awake in the dream. But the awakening that is taught in A Course in Miracles is awakening from the dream, beyond the dream, right? The lucid dreaming is called the happy dream. It's a gradual becoming aware of who you are, but it's not the total awakening beyond the dream. So the words I think I used in today's tip was that first we are transcending the dream and then we awake from it. So what we're talking about now is the process of transcending. The process of rising up above the battlefield. And we're talking about the specific method, exactly how to do it. And, you know, you could say it's a two things, but it's like two sides of one coin. So in a way, it's one thing. The two things, which are really one thing, are ceasing to believe your own thinking and perceptions. That's one side of the coin. And becoming more aware of yourself as awareness. That's the other side of the coin. But it's one coin. And so forgiveness and awareness, watching awareness. Let's see if there's anything else here I want to share. One thing he's talking about here is depending on your personality type, there are certain disturbances that you can expect. You know, so, you know, some of you may have family issues. You know, like when I was more caught up in the personality, you know, I think I've told you guys one of my things was getting annoyed, frustrated, angry at Jasmine and yelling at Jasmine. Like, you know, in my beginning stages, I could expect, because that's just what this personality did, I could expect that I was going to get annoyed and angry at Jasmine. I was going to yell at Jasmine. So that's what he's talking about. He's talking about when you still have these patterns, where you know your patterns. You know you might call them your faults, your weaknesses. He would just refer to them as your patterns. He would use a much more neutral term. But you know your patterns, right? You know what you can expect from yourself. So what he says here is, learn to just watch these patterns. So if your thing is yelling at the kids, learn to watch yourself yell. If your thing is worrying about money, learn to watch yourself worry. Right? Start stepping into the watcher of the character. You already know the character. You already know what to expect, so it's not a surprise. You know this person. Just start practicing watching it. All right. And he talks about how as you continue to do this, you're going to get to the point where you're going to realize you are not who you thought you were. In fact, you're not even a human being. You just happen to be watching one, right? You're going to get to where you realize that. But what we've been talking about is how to take those steps. All right. He also calls this, by the way, true meditation. True meditation is focusing on your consciousness, he says. Again, that's another way of saying awareness, watching awareness, right? True meditation is focusing on your consciousness. All right, so let me put that down. And let me give you guys the homework assignment for the upcoming week. So we're going to do workbook lessons 141 to 147. And those are all review lessons. There's some reading on the first day on 141. You'll find the review reading. But after that, there's very little reading that goes along with the workbook lessons this week, just the first day. Of course, you're going to continue to practice daily awareness, watching awareness meditation for 15 to 20 minutes per day. And you're going to continue to practice the Loving All method. The reading that we're going to do this week is an NTI. It's NTI 1 Timothy chapters 1 to 6. That's pages 373 to 381. And that's really talking about the belief that we're persons, the personhood. So we're going to be looking at that this week, the belief that we're a person and what keeps us stuck in the belief that we are a person. NTI 1 Timothy chapters 1 to 6, pages 373 to 381. And then there's a meditation. This is still helping us to discover what awareness, watching awareness is for those of us who are still discovering it. For those of us who know, it's just another opportunity to practice. We're going to practice a 30-minute meditation once. It's a self-inquiry meditation, and I'm the leader in the meditation. I'm the voice you'll hear me hear guiding you. And you'll find this on the Awakening Together website under audios and videos, meditation audios, devotional meditation. And you'll just scroll down in the list until you find the one called self-inquiry meditation. And maybe Kim will put a link directly to it in the homework assignment. In fact, he's already put that link right there for you. The self-inquiry meditation. Practice that at least once this week. And on the day that you do that 30-minute meditation, that will count as your awareness, watching awareness meditation for the day. Unless, of course, you're like me and you want to do more. So those are our homework assignments for the week. Again, lessons, workbook lessons 141 to 147. Daily awareness, watching awareness meditation for 15 to 20 minutes. The Loving All method. Reading NTI 1 Timothy chapters 1 through 6, and then at least once the 30-minute self-inquiry meditation led by Regina Dawn Akers. All right? Good. Okay, well, I hope you all are still finding this beneficial, and I will see you all next week. Well, I'll probably see you before then. I'll be here tomorrow for the guiding light, but I'll see you next week for gentle healing. Bye.